And welcome everybody to the next episode of Gridiron Japan. I'm here with John Gunning, and we are pleased to be joined by AJ Koikoi, the new head coach of your Hiroshima Hawks. AJ, thanks for being with us, my friend.
No. Thank you so much, Greg and John. It's nice to be on, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, AJ, you're one of the few head coaches of a football team here in Japan, a few foreign head coaches. So can you tell us a little bit about how it's gone so far in your first couple of months in the job?
Yeah, you know, I mean, during basically our winter to spring practices, the guys were always kind of goofing around during practice. They were like, they used to call me head coach, or head coach. And it's just, you know, I'd laugh and I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then the Kantoku of our the manager of our team eventually was like, hey, you know, we do need a head coach and we need some youth in it. And I was like, okay, I can do that. So, you know, it's been pretty great with the guys. They really respect me. Thankfully, you know, that whole youth thing in Japan, being younger, giving, you know, orders to someone who's older than you does not always go well, but the guys are pretty open to it, and they understand that, you know, I've been playing football since I was seven, so.
Yeah, you've been playing football. We're going to get into your football history both here and abroad as well, but in terms of coaching, you did a little bit as well at Hiroshima University, is that right? So this isn't your first coaching gig.
No. Yeah, I was the defensive coordinator for 3 years at Hiroshima University. So that started in 2019 and went to 2021. And every year we actually won the Chushikoku regional championship. And we're given the opportunity to go to the, you know, Zenkoku Taikai. So what's that? The national play. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, at Hiroshima University, it's very different down here. I think a lot of guys are used to what, you know, happens up in Tokyo and Osaka. You usually got an old guy that's been a head coach for years. Down here, you know, it's very much player-oriented, player-run. You know, a lot of young guys, you know, coming in every year and just completely changing up the playbooks and whatnot based on what, if they played in high school, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Hiroshima University was fun. One of the best experiences of my life.
And your history, obviously, with the X-League, and so Hiroshima Hawks are X3, but this isn't your first X-League experience, right? You played for Okayama Standing Bears, is that right?
I did, yes. Yeah. I played. Yeah, that's such a long time ago. I actually went up there last week, met up with some of the guys at the Seto Uchi Dream Bowl, where Okayama kind of plays against a mixed team. So they played against like the TriStars and you know, some Okayama University students. But yeah, back in 2016, when I first came to Japan, I was really hurting for football. Looked up online, you know, American football, like in katakana, right? Okayama. You kind of saw what came up, and this dead website came up of the Okayama team. It hadn't been you know monitored for years, I could tell, but it said they had a game you know, in City Light Stadium. So I went to go check it out, and yeah, one thing led to another, and I ended up playing for Okayama for a couple of years.
You played in a fairly significant game, actually. You played against Fukuoka Suns in the first game ever in that team's history. So what was that like? I mean, they're obviously, a lot of people would have heard that name. They're an X1 super team now, but they were officially formed at the end of 2016. I think their first game was April 2017. That was the one against Okayama Standing Bears. And they kind of tore through the lower divisions over the course of the next 3 years, you know, blowing out these established teams like 80 points, 90 points, and all the way up to, they didn't lose a game, I think, until they faced Elecom Finis, who are, you know, top division team after maybe like a year and a half or 2 years. So but that first game against Suns, what do you remember about that experience?
You know, I remember first of all still being young. You know, I remember having the energy to like cover both sides of the field, and as a linebacker as well as a running back, I was moving. It was a lot of fun. But the ultimate thing that I remember is it was on Fukuoka's goal line. The ball was on Fukuoka's goal line, and they ran, you know, like a halfback keep up the middle, say like the A or the B gap, filled it just at the right time. just as the guy was receiving the handoff, fumbled it. You know, our sideline of all 10 people is going wild. Fukuoka's sideline of 40 people is like, who is this guy? And why is he in Okayama just absolutely destroying us, you know? But actually, funnily enough, I talked to Itaru-san. I think he's now the president of Fukuoka Sons over there. And I talked to him about 3 weeks ago, and I was like, hey, man, like, you know, I was trying to help a buddy look for a team. And he was like, you know, we also remember you, man. That was by far the hardest game we played other than Elecom. So, yeah, great experience.
That was 6 years ago now. Six years ago. Yeah, you've been in Japan since 2016, as you said. Hiroshima University. So how about the Hawks? What are your, we don't get to hear a lot obviously about X3 teams, so I mean, how many members do you have? What's your targets for the year, or like being a head coach now officially, what are you hoping to achieve with that team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have 45 guys on the roster, but the thing is that, you know, X3 is a lot different, right, than X2 or X1. You're not right. getting, you're not really getting, what is it called? Kotsuhi, so the travel expenses. You know, so a lot of guys are like, I don't know if I can make it. It's pretty expensive. It's hard to get guys to, you know, commit to the team, you know, for a couple years at a time. So first and foremost, it's recruiting. I've been on a tear down here in Hiroshima and Okayama, asking every person who even played football, you know, in high school, abroad or anything, like, hey, you know, you want to come play? There's this actually a kid from China who played in the Chinese league, is now a PhD student at Hiroshima University. I was able to bring him on. He's a return specialist, a lot smaller than his profile read, but it's okay. You know, but the thing is right now is just trying to get bodies together, trying to get people together. So that's goal number one. Goal number two, last year, the only loss that we had was against the Shohei Blazers in our division. And then unfortunately, we just lost to the Yells in the spring tournament that we had. I do believe that we can absolutely at least get to the X2, X3, you know, game where if we win, you know, we're leveled up. I think we can get to that game.
Okay.
Can we win it is a different conversation. But you know, over the next year, my thing is get the guys to a level where, hey, this is no longer just about, you know, having fun and playing in the X3 league. This is about trying to get to X2, trying to get a bunch of sponsors to surround us. We got a bunch of good sponsors coming in this year. I can't name any of them just yet, but you know, you'll see them on the little pamphlets. And then goal number three is really just to kind of, it's always been, I promised, you know, this region 6 years ago, I said, you know, I'll do everything in my power to get football to a place where it's respected nationally. I'm trying to just, you know, I'm trying to get there. You know, whenever we play teams in Osaka, even if they are X3, because we're from Hiroshima, they're like, you know, y'all don't know anything about football. Y'all got is the carp down there. We don't know anything else other than that. So, you know, trying to get football back, trying to get youth into football out here, trying to get a youth out to the team, out to the games and whatnot. That's our main, those are my main three goals for the year. Yeah.
So obviously X3, even X2 and even X1 area, there are very few people getting paid for what they do. Probably nobody in X3 level, but having a job yourself, obviously your UN based job and everything, and like you said, players don't have the money for extensive travel, but what's it like for getting people together for training? Or do you have people helping you with do you have other people on, say, a coaching staff? Or how do you manage your time? Or how do you get the players together? Or how often can you do it even?
Yeah, we can only really get the players together once a week, like 100%. Other than that, what I'll do is I send workouts to the guys. I've created, like, you know, workout plans, and I'm like, hey, you know, you're kind of lacking in these areas. So, you know, I want you to hit, you know, upper body more so than you're hitting lower body, or vice versa, right? So it's a lot of, you know, direct contact, a lot of guys just doing things on their own. And it's really just a lot of trust. Just hoping that, right, you know, people have the time during the week while they're working with family. I think two of our players just had kids. So, you know, while they're taking care of their kids, their wives, just trying to make sure that, you know, they're doing what they need to do. So when it comes to game time, we're good.
And in terms of the fundamentals of the game, how are the guys with the fundamentals? Because obviously, I mean, I played football as a kid. We always know that is always, you can have all the talent in the world, but unless you got the fundamental, how are the guys looking with the fundamentals?
It's, you know, it ranges. It depends on where the guys went to university, right? If they went somewhere in Osaka, then their fundamentals are probably fine. Okay. If they went somewhere outside of that Kansai or Kanto region, then I might have to have a conversation about how you fill a gap, about how you properly rip, about how you pass rush, and, like, you know, and how you keep your balance as an offensive lineman. Right. It's not all, well, you know, that being said, our Shimane University guys, they have a, like, key fundamentals down to a T. Their head coach over there, they're the program, he's been running for those guys for years. He's been doing a great job. But, you know, I got a guy who, I can't remember the university he was from. His defensive stance, you know, kind of looked like an O-line stance. And when he would blast off, you know, he's chopping, bringing right. his feet, duck walking. And I'm like, this is defensive line, bro. You know, you gotta lean, you know, bring the power with you. So it's a crapshoot, honestly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously you have, we'll talk a little bit more later. You know, you did Japanese when you're in university and you have all the background. So, like, culturally, you were probably more prepared for coming here than, we'll say, a lot of people come over. And, like, we'll say a lot of the players who are involved, Americans who are involved in football in Japan, came primarily because of football, but you came through a different route. But culturally, did you find it, I mean, I'm sure you were prepared obviously for Japan, but having your football background, such an extensive football background, was football here culturally a shock, shall we say? Were there things that, you know, we hear a lot from other players about the things that surprised them, but, like, even everything from practices to, like you said, like the absolute deference to older players or older coaches or something. But for you, what did you find strange or different when you came here culturally in the game?
Yeah, culturally in the game, I just think it's it's not everyone, you know, but there is a lack of, like, innovation, like, you know, rolling on the run. I've noticed, when I was at Okayama, you know, I remember we were getting blown out by some team we shouldn't have been getting blown out for. And that's not to say we were really good or anything like that, but we should have been winning. And, you know, I told the coach, hey, let's change this. Let's change our defense to this. Let's start, running the ball on offense. And he was like, no, that's not our game plan. And I was like, yeah, I get it. But, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, you know, that rolling on the run, just to being innovative as things change, is a huge shock to me. And then, of course, like, no one was listening to me for like 4 years. Like, people were just like, this guy, he's 22, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I was like, dude, I've been playing this since I was 7, bro. Like, come on. Like, I promise you, I'm not leading you down the wrong, you know, path here. But yeah, I would
speak from experience. You had more experience than any of the guys there, but because of your age and obviously being a foreigner too, it's like, yeah, no, we're not, you know. I understand that. I get that in my home life. I get that. I understand.
Yeah. We hear that a lot, Greg. That's the pride issue, especially the Japanese coaches would have, with good reason in a lot of cases. You know, a lot of these guys have been obsessed with football since they were young, but
right.
Yeah. The resistance to change, you know, coming from sumo, which hasn't changed in 350 years. I hear you, you know?
Yeah.
Just going back a little bit. So obviously your background, as you said, you played football a lot of your life. You played in high school as well. And university, you were at Franklin and Marshall. So
yes, sir.
The Diplomats, which is a team name that would fit well in Japan. You know, I think it's it's out there with some of the better Japanese names. I love that. The Diplomats in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You played 40 games for them.
Yep.
128 tackles. You were D-line man. I think you were number 8 for most of it.
I was.
Right? Your number, yeah. 128 tackles, 16 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
3.5 tackles for losses, 4 fumbles. So you know, going back through your reports on you and the stats on you, obviously you made second team All-Conference, I think, twice. And, you know, there's a lot of glowing reports and great stuff about how great you are as a person and a player and everything. But like, what was that football experience like at Franklin and Marshall? I think that's D3.
Yes, D3. Right?
So, what was that like, you know, and as a player and just as a person, and then coming from the D3 level to Japan, how did that compare?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a going through D3, we were talking about this the other day. Actually, one of my koha is a guy that I didn't play with him at all, but he is currently at Franklin and Marshall, and he's here right now in the house. But we were talking about this the other day. He's working out with, you know, Hiroshima teams and doing, but we can talk about that later. But anyway, FNM, you know, as going to a D3 school, I knew that I wasn't like the best football player. I was aware of that. You know, I was coming out with guys like Stephon Diggs. Me and Stephon Diggs actually played in the Maryland, summer or something or other, All-Star Bowl. Oh. Yeah. Stephon was, he's an interesting guy. I doubt he remembers me these days. You know, another guy, Greg Pike, he went on to play he went to Georgia and then went on to play for the Cards. And, you know, I knew I wasn't going to be like those guys. I knew I wasn't going to be a Stephon. I knew I wasn't going to be a Pike. So when I went to FNM, it was really like, okay, academics, and then let's try to play football for 4 years. And I had an awesome coach down there, John Troxell. He always said, you know, it's not 4 years, but a lifetime. You know, look, when we were, you know, at FNM as students, like we were like, ah, whatever, you know, like 4 years of lifetime, you know, what is this he's talking about? But then you graduate and you start to see it, you know, you start to see how people are helping each other. And he always said, I'm here to raise better men, not better football players.
Right.
And, we got better, you know, I would always say, and one of the highlights, of playing at FNM was beating Johns Hopkins was actually in our league. and Johns Hopkins was usually ranked in the top 10 D3. They would go pretty far, but, you know, you also got Mount Union, UW, Oshkosh in there. You're not getting past those guys. Those are guys that should have gone D1 and for some reason are playing at a D3 level. So, you know, we were really focused on just becoming better people, learning, growing. And it was fun. We won games. We had a good time. I could have been a better teammate, but I was young. I was young. I was stupid. People had glowing remarks about me, but, you know, you asked a lot of my teammates, what kind of guy was AJ back in college? They would have been like, yeah, we needed an eye in team, but maybe not that much. but, you know, so, you know, I wasn't the best teammate, but, you know, I think that experience kind of pushed me to say, okay, you know, why wasn't I doing the best I could as a person and as a teammate on the team? And how could I kind of bring, you know, my experience, as my technical experience, as well as my team experience to Japan? So making that, you know, kind of crossover, I would say, you know, D3 guys can make it here. You could play X1. You know, Fukuoka was trying to get me on their team like no more than 3 years ago. I haven't touched a ball in 365 days, and I refused. I'll never go back again. But, you know, D3 guys can make it here. If you know, you're hardworking and you're willing to put in the time. But the transition was not as difficult as I initially thought it would be, for sure.
It's kind of interesting that you sort of downplay your own achievements and, you know, criticize yourself and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, going through, you know, obviously we have to do a little bit of research and the people who are coming on. One thing that struck me very much is that you have a very strong commitment to social justice. So you might say you are selfish or, you know, too much not in the team or whatever, but you know, I can see pictures of you wearing Eric Garner t-shirt. You're involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. You have Danketsu. You've received awards from from people in for organizations in Japan. You're involved in the United Nations now. So where does that, you know, primarily putting other people to the forefront of what you do, or social justice, the importance of it in your life, or how long has that been part of your life, or like, where does it come from? Or, you know, can you just talk a little bit about that? It seems to be such a major part of everything that you do. Even your master's, what was it? Micro to macro, Sierra Leone's local tribal chieftaincy.
Yes, sir.
It's like on the field, in the classroom, you know, off the field, you seem to be very much someone who's committed to helping others, or to social justice particularly. So you just talk a little bit about, you know, what that means to you and how you came to it.
Indeed. I never thought about it like that. It's always nice, right, to get into an interview podcast situation. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess when you put it like that, right? Yeah, I would say, you know, my parents are from Liberia, small country in West Africa. Both moved to New York, didn't know each other, you know, had a typical American love story in New York, then eventually moved down to Philadelphia, and then moved further down to Baltimore, where I was born and raised. My parents had a lot of difficulties, you know, growing up. They weren't citizens. They still aren't citizens. They have their green cards and everything. But, you know, they refuse to kind of, because they know how they'd been treated in the United States. And I kind of watched them struggle for years and, you know, struggle and then be able to put me in the best, me and my brother and my sister into the best schools in, you know, in Maryland. And eventually, you know, my brother was actually able to, you know, able to go and play at Miami. Little sister, she, you know, eventually stopped playing sports, but she was so good at field hockey. Like, but, you know, she had different priorities. She wanted to become a lawyer or something like that. But anyway, my parents, you know, I watched kind of what they went through. And then growing up in Baltimore, I mean, you know, cops are, I now that I kind of where I work, you know, working for the United Nations office, it forces you to take a step back and kind of realize why things happen the way they do. And even for cops, like, it's not that all cops, I mean, I don't want to say that, because then that's kind of a dog whistle for, you know, other things. But you got to kind of understand the structures that force people to do terrible things and let people get away with terrible things in some instances, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of was, being in Baltimore, always, you know, exposed to these things. And my parents always said, you know, if you see something, you know, not going the right way, you know, fix it. And, you know, don't stay until the work is done, or don't leave until the work is done. And they said that with everything. And I've kind of always, you know, brought that into my life. So, you know, when I was here in Japan, after playing football and right, you know, during university, I was just seeing how everything that was happening in the States was also kind of happening here. Not to the crazy extent that happens in the States, right? You have access to weapons, right? So kind of make, or, you know, firearms, I should say, which kind of makes things a lot worse. But, you know, people still get their extrajudicial killings in every country. It's unacceptable. I've watched refugees, you know, die on tables in, you know, Bangladesh and Myanmar because they were running away from extremist Buddhists who didn't want them in their country. You know, after kind of gathering all these experiences, it's just kind of pushed me to say, you know, I gotta do whatever I gotta do, and I gotta be hard on myself to be a better person, to make sure that, you know, I'm, you know, you can't, it's kind of corny, but you can't change anything unless, you know, you're able to change yourself, you know, and kind of admit where you have shortcomings and where you can get better. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I never really thought of it as a social justice kind of thing, just like trying to help people wherever I can type of thing.
I mean, obviously it's part of your character and it's part of your upbringing and, you know, your parents, everyone is a result of nature and nurture, right? So you know who you are and how you were raised is important. But like, does the football tie into that in a little bit? I mean, is the fact that you're involved in an unpaid capacity in football here and using your valuable time. And I mean, obviously you have a love of the game. That's undeniable. But is there, you said as well about wanting to, you know, give the Hiroshima and that area more pride in itself, you know, compared to like Osaka and Tokyo. But is that part of it? Is part of what you get from football the ability to help others, or the satisfaction from being able to help others?
Absolutely. You know, I think football is like, you go to most football programs, and that's from peewee football all the way up to university, even pro, right? You see these guys doing community service every step of the way. A lot of it's obviously for PR for some of the teams with, you know, bad track records. But, you know, you start looking at one thing in Baltimore is where I practice peewee football, Ramblestown Panthers, first time I ever played football. From when I was 6 years old, 13 years old, the Ravens practice facility was 3 minutes away by car. It was, you know, you pop a left, you know, in the Owings Mills, and it's right there. So the guys would come over and talk to us whenever they have free time. So I like Ray Lewis came to my practice, you know what I'm saying? Like Ed Reed stopped by, Chris McAllister, Jamal Lewis, the guys that we absolutely adored, and we saw like, okay, these guys are showing us rather than telling us, like, it's always best to reconnect with your community. And, you know, football connects, man.
And especially in Baltimore, of all the towns in America, we're talking football. Now, AJ, I'm a lot older than you, so when I think Baltimore football, I think the Colts.
Oh, the Colts.
So, okay.
All I think is Mayflowers when I hear the
Colts. Yeah. I heard Owings Mills, and I can remember when I was a kid saying, "Oh my God, they." But I digress. But yeah, you grow up in an area that, I mean, it's football and community service in Baltimore are just all synonymous. I mean, you know, and you know the history of Johnny Unitas, of those legendary Colt teams, how into the community. I mean, they were still there long after. So you grew up in a great football town.
Yeah. No, honestly. And I think a lot of people, we used to, you know, the guys on my team at F&M, they used to make fun of us. They'd be like, you know, Maryland football sucks. You know, these are guys from Jersey and Pennsylvania. So, you know, some of the best, I will admit, some of the best football in America. But, you know, Baltimore in of itself, man, we got great football too. We got great kids coming out, people who understand. And, you know, I think the program that you mentioned earlier, John, Donketsu, like Donketsu is kind of a you know, amalgamation of all of that, of all of those things coming together, where I've been able to bring over kids to connect with rural area high school kids, as well as football kids who want to learn football, but, you know, don't have the access to people like me, or people like, you know, this kid that's staying I'm in the Don kid's house right now. They don't have access to these guys. So I kind of, I do that in my free time. But
Can you tell us exactly what that is, and when you set it up, and what the goal of that organization is?
Absolutely. So Donketsu was initially funded by Princeton in Asia. That's actually how I got to Japan. Princeton in Asia, what they do is they connect recent graduates with universities in Asia, or not universities, excuse me, host organizations in Asia. Excuse me. So my first job, I went out and I was an English teacher all by myself at, Notre Dame Seishin, which you'll know, Greg, which is out in Nakasho.
Yeah.
You remember that one? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where my wife went.
Really? Yeah. So perfect. Yeah. So I was a teacher at that all-girls Catholic school. It was interesting. I learned a lot about myself. And then eventually, when that year was over, they have this development grant that you can, so you can apply for $10,000 to start a nonprofit or something like that. So I started Donketsu, and the goal of Donketsu is to create, you know, global citizens by connecting not people from like city to city. You know, if you're living in a city, chances are you probably already have a diverse background of learning opportunities. But if you're in a rural area like Okayama, like Hiroshima, chances that you're getting to see someone that looks like me, you know, teaching you about any type of sport kind of goes down tremendously. So I focus primarily on this Chushikoku region, right? The Chugoku Chiho, as well as the Shikoku Chiho, and try to bring, you know, athletes like we had a kid a couple years ago. He was an analyst. Now he's at Oregon University, still doing the analyst thing. So Keo Hill, he came down from Tokyo, stayed here for 3 months, worked with Hiroshima University's football team, and revamped the way that they take stats on their defense.
Wow.
Yep. Now we got Chiramo here. Chiramo is converted to strong safety slash linebacker at Franklin and Marshall, and he's going to be working with the Hiroshima University football team as well as the Hiroshima Hawks. He's going to also accompany me and help me with coaching. Many years ago, when the program initially started, we had a sprinter. Her name was Kano Okada. Kano Okada is probably the reason that I started the program. She was a track athlete and was probably one of the best track athletes I had ever seen. She wanted to join the Tokyo Olympics and got cut like in the second to last round or something like that. And now Kano works in Tokyo doing you know, sports and international cooperation type stuff. So what we've really been able to do with that, and I don't do all this by myself. You know, we have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that willingly take their time to come out and do things like this. But so Kano's doing that now. And then this house that I mentioned, basically, you know, as you're both aware, I'm sure you get these old abandoned houses in Japan, right? Everybody's talking about it. You come here, buy one for cheap. My buddy actually introduced me one. He was like, hey, you want to build like a football field and stuff, right? A little workout facility. And I was like, yeah. He's like, perfect house for it. So this house has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 livable rooms. Mm-hmm. And then to the right of it is this long field. It's about, I would say, 60 yards long, okay, and 75 yards wide. Right. And we're going to build a football field there, and kids are going to be able to come in the rural areas. The rural Japanese kids with, you know, little to no experience with foreigners are going to be able to come here and play sports with them.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, yeah, Donkits.
That's very cool. Yeah, because we need more of that down here, like you said. I mean, the experiences, I mean, for kids down this way to experience, you know, American football. I mean, I see a lot of Green Bay Packer apparel floating around the malls here, but there is not a football field or anything in sight in terms of even flag football. You know, I know there's flag football here, but it's very rare to find it.
Yep. So, and actually there's a guy in near you, Fukuyama, Japan American Football Dream. I'm actually need to hit him up. I've been talking to him about how I can, you know, kind of bring athletes over here to maybe help coach the kids. Yeah, JAD on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll find that is Shin Ikeno, who you both might know, the QB club guy.
Right.
That's like his Kohai or senpai or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you connected with any of the other players or teams, like the Americans who are playing here? Have you had much contact with those?
Yeah, actually, you know, BJ Beattie, talked to him.
Everybody knows BJ.
Exactly.
He is the mayor of Japan when it comes to American football.
Exactly. No, you don't kind of get out here and without, you know, going through BJ if you're a football player. And right. I hit him up. I wanted to bring him down. Of course, it was during Corona, and I know he was worried about it. You know, we're still in contact. I tell him, you know, anytime you're able to get down here, let me know. I was able to actually get on the field and say hi to him during the the Ivy League Japan thing?
U.S. Japan Dream Bowl.
U.S. Japan Dream Bowl. Yeah, sorry, John. I was busy, man.
You're fine. I had like 10 people I was supposed to meet that day, and I was kind of felt bad I didn't get around to meeting you. But were you actually supporting the Princeton guys? Were you?
I was.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was. Sorry, I couldn't help it. I couldn't. You know, my pride came up. It's like America can't lose this one. But so I talked to BJ. I kind of got in contact with Carlton Jones, I think. Yeah, a couple years back, tried to get him out here, but I know he's super busy. And then Blue Thunder guy hit me up a couple days ago. It was pretty cool. Oh, I forget his name.
He was on one of our shows recently. We talked to him. He's not Blue Thunders anymore, though. He's with Minerva now.
Really? Okay.
He's transferred from Blue Thunders to Minerva. He played for Minerva against Bullseyes, I think it was. Minerva played Bullseyes the weekend. But another man like yourself who has a varied and diverse interests and didn't come out for football, but has one of the more interesting stories. But you said there's somebody you're trying to get into teams. Or that you have tried to help another American? Did you say that?
Yeah. Devin Phelps.
Oh, Devin. Oh, who used to play for Ellicom, is it?
Ellicom, yeah.
I didn't know that. So he's still here?
He's in Mexico right now, training and whatnot. I believe he lives down there. We're trying everything, trying to get him on the team. I know there's a team that needs a receiver, especially one that was a top rated receiver last year. So looking for him.
Yeah. It's still the time. I mean, they don't have to finish the registration, I think, up to the end of July. So the rosters are not set. It'll be interesting to see how things play out. Some interesting signings already. We'll see if they're successful or not, but yeah, Devin, you should be able to find a place for him. I was kind of surprised that Greg started talking about football in Baltimore and didn't bring up the CFL, you know?
Oh, we haven't got that far yet.
You call it the CFL. So
I have a Stallions. If you, AJ, if you can see in the background, I have a Baltimore Stallions helmet in the background.
I do see that.
Right over there somewhere.
You're not involved with the university game at all anymore, are you? Hiroshima University, you've no connection with that anymore.
I go and I still consult. I'll go to the practices. The culture's changed a little bit since I was a coach there. Not as hard nosed. The guys want to enjoy football, which I 100% understand. So I've kind of backed off.
Okay. And we've covered a lot already, but I want to talk a little bit about the actual playing of the games here. When you were a player, how many games did you play in Japan? Do you remember? You played for a lot of
places. Yeah. And then I played about 10 to 15 with Okayama. And then I played 3 with Hiroshima. Body wasn't moving as well. I'm sure y'all looked at that film, man. It was terrible. I would take 2 steps and hit somebody and be like done with the play.
I often joke about that if I ever took up football at my age, my nickname would be Mr. Third Down. But the reason for that would actually be because after 3 downs, I'd be so winded I couldn't continue.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, I'm leaving it to the young bulls now, man. Everybody, when I went up, like I mentioned, I went up to Okayama and they were like, hey, AJ, we got to get you a quarterback up here. And I was like, what? I can barely play, even, D tackle.
Wait a minute. So that means even at my age, I have a chance with the Okayama.
Absolutely.
The Okayama, even at age 55 and a bad knee. Wow.
You would be the second youngest player or second oldest player.
Wow.
You wouldn't even be the oldest.
Yeah, and Greg, we keep telling you there's the senior leagues, man. There's guys still kicking it around in their 70s and 80s.
I'll think about it and I'll keep thinking about it. It's
the under 59ers tried to recruit me to their team a couple of weeks ago. I was standing, they're one of the senior league teams in Japan. They saw me standing. I was there for a different practice, but they were finishing up their practice beforehand and they were like, oh, come on, you want to play? And I was like, no, I'm just totally sumo. They're like, that's fine, that's what we need. We need somebody.
Nose tackle.
Yeah, right. maybe when I hit 60, I'll think about it.
There you go.
When I've accomplished everything, there'll be nothing to lose at that stage,
AJ, I was going to ask you, in terms of just the football knowledge, in terms of, down our way here, do you, with the kids and people talking American football, do you see, I mean, there's a lot of knowledge out there. People know about the sport in the areas where we live at. Are you seeing it grow? I mean, obviously social media, internet and everything is helping it grow, but are you seeing a difference even between when you first got there to now that it's a bigger knowledge base?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you look at kind of Hiroshima, well, I mean, even Okayama, you know, if I asked somebody, you know, or if when I was telling people, hey, I'm playing American football. Well, first of all, I had to learn that I couldn't just say football, right? I had to say American, you know, American football. And then they'd be like, oh,
right.
Kind of like rugby, right? And that was, you know, back in 2016. Now I say it and they're like, oh, the one where, you know, you put the helmet on and the shoulder pads. So the knowledge is growing. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's from the internet and whatnot. But you know, there's a lot of younger kids, you know, playing these days in Hiroshima and you know, right. Even in Okayama as well. So I do see the base growing for okay. sure.
Yeah. And yeah. I know video games obviously play a yep. big part in it too. My brother-in-law up here, I mean, that's the one thing him and I, we don't obviously speak the same language, but the one language we do speak is American football. He's a 49ers fan. And I'm a Cardinals fan, and we went, you know, we weren't here about, I think we got here about a month, and we were down at we were at the Cochin Bowl enjoying, and my wife's like, you guys no, we're fine, we don't need any translation, we know what's going on in the field. What sports, yeah, like with baseball, it's universal. So that's kind of the beautiful thing about sports in general, but even with American football. And it's always nice too when you do, and you probably like me, when you see American football even in apparel, you kind of you take notice of like, okay, our sport is here. It's even if it's just, you know, 15-year-old girl wearing a Packers, you know, jacket, yeah, walking through the mall.
Yeah. But you know, I will say, when was it? I think it was a couple of months ago. I was walking through Hiroshima City. I was just going to the office, and this guy was wearing a Cleveland Browns shirt, and I stopped him and I was like, well, you know, do you like the Cleveland Browns? This guy goes into, I shouldn't have stopped him, talked to me for an hour and a half about the Browns, asking me which generation was the best. And then I told him I was a Ravens fan at the hour mark. And then the conversation finally died down. He was just like, oh, you don't share my same passion. He didn't know that there was American football in this area. So, yeah.
The Ravens are just a brand spinoff anyway. So,
yeah, there you go.
Oof. Oof. Ooh, I'll let that one slide. I will let it slide.
John, that's
the joy to the friends that the Browns.
John, that is the best analogy I've heard about the Browns and the Ravens ever. They're a spinoff team. Never heard it, but that is like perfect.
Or the Frasier to, you know, the Browns cheers, you know, whichever TV spinoff you want to take, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. But I mean, hey, no one will ever top what the Browns had at the beginning. You know, no one will ever top any of that coaching staff. Absolutely.
Yeah, no.
So unlike Greg and unlike me, who came myself as well, who came to Japan without the language, obviously, AJ, you had Japanese. But I forgot to actually ask you, how did you end up taking Japanese? So where did the Japanese side of it come into it? You know, the thing that kicked off the whole journey, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in sixth grade in the States, I transferred to a new school, as you know, as I mentioned, I was in Baltimore. So my parents wanted me to go to a private school, so I ended up going to St. Paul School for Boys. And yeah, we had to take a language. You had to take a foreign language, and I went to the Spanish class to try it out. Wasn't clicking. Just what you would think, right? Same roots, you know, maybe the same Latin roots, maybe click a little bit. It did not. And then the Japanese teacher, Willie Matsuzaki, man. That guy sat me down. He went through every, and this is when I'm 12, you know, went through every hiragana character, made them into shapes, you know, funny stuff so I could laugh. And we practiced together for a whole summer. You know, and that was on his own free time.
Right.
And from there, six all the way till I finished university. I just kept learning the language. I really don't have any interest in anime. I don't really have any particular interest in history. it just, you know, and when it came time to graduate, it was okay. I could, you know, finish up and you know, do the med school thing like I was initially supposed to. Parents still pissed about that. or I could, you know, go, you know, actually use this language that I've been studying, which all my advisors are telling me, you know, dude, you've been studying Japanese your whole life. Just go. And I was like, oh, yeah. All right. So I went. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing. Like one of those sliding doors moments, right? You just something that you you happen across and it changes the entire direction of your life. We talked, I think you mentioned earlier on, your brother played for Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
The Red Hawks. So there's been quite a few players from that university in Japan. I think IBM's new quarterback for the upcoming season is from there. Let's see, what was his name? Victor Viramontes. He played linebacker. So he was, another converted linebacker on IBM playing on offense, along with John Stanton. But Bryson Burris played for Challengers. Tyrone, who played for, I'm just blanking on the team, Bullseyes. So, but your brother is not going to follow you out and become the latest Red Hawk in Japan, is he?
You know, I've been trying to convince him. He's still got it, which is pretty terrifying. I know when he graduated during Corona. So all his pro days got canceled. Everything was, just went down the hill. Well,
he would have been a teammate of a lot of those players, would he? Of some of those players.
I'm going to ask, actually, probably call him after this, be like, hey, one of those guys mentioned, you know, this guy. I told him, I was like, hey, man, you know, we get you with the team out here. But he's got two kids now. He's settled down. He actually has his own nonprofit back in Baltimore, raising intellectual gifted individuals, something like that. And he does a lot of good community work. So he's kind of necessary in Baltimore.
Yeah, I was going to say he's locked down there, it sounds like.
He's doing his
problems
thing
on that side of the Pacific, and you're fixing the problems on this side of the Pacific.
That's exactly. They'll be visiting actually later this year, so maybe I'll take them out to some games.
Definitely. Just before we kind of wrap it up, I know we are kind of approaching the hour mark now, but where can people find you? Greg is the one who usually asks this question.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm taking Greg's thunder away from him today. But where would you want people to find you, or what links would you want them to check out?
Oh, you know, it all depends. If you're interested in the football thing, hit me up on Instagram. Just AJ Koi Koi. No space, no hyphens, no anything like that. If you're interested in, you know, United Nations work and what, you know, we kind of do here, not in the Asia Pacific region, hit me up on LinkedIn. Once again, just AJ Koi Koi. And if you, just hit me up there and we can go from there. If anybody needs my email, just hit me up in one of those areas and ask, and I'll hand it out to you. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Definitely. I definitely will. So you'll be hearing from me pretty soon.
Please do. I'll be in Kurashiki. Sorry. I'm thinking early June. So right.
I'll be around. Yeah. I got nowhere going. I mean, I got nothing. I'm an old retired guy right now. So I got nowhere to be.
You better start working out now, because you know AJ is going to be recruiting you.
He's going to be like, hey, maybe can you kick? Can you hold the football for the kicker? That might be about as all I'm going. Problem with being the holder of a ball, usually something always goes wrong at the most inappropriate time. So,
or you could be a special teams coach, you know, the guys.
But AJ, definitely, I'm looking forward to seeing you when you pass through town. Definitely, it's always nice to you know, as I always like to say when I do see my friends here, greetings, fellow American.
Greetings, fellow American. No, absolutely, 100%. No, we can. I got a buddy out in Nakasho. Got this great bar. Please go if you're
not. Oh yeah, interested. I'm up. Yeah.
It's called. Sorry, my dog's just kind of coughed. It's weird. Anyway, if you're ever up in Nakasho, Castle Rock.
Got it.
In the bar owner, his name is Mishima Yohei. That I used to work there actually, a little bit of part-time job. He's a great dude.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely. We'll talk more too after we wrap up. So, well, gentlemen, listen, AJ, thank you for joining us here today, and we will definitely hopefully I will be seeing you sooner rather than later, and I'm definitely going to plan on coming down this autumn to see you guys play. And are you guys going to be in Okayama at all for any games?
Off the top of your head? Hasn't been decided yet.
Okay. Well, if you are, I will be at the game. So, John, before I let you go, man, what's going on in your world right now?
We're in the middle of it's sumo basho time now. So, I just finished up. We did the rugby as well at the weekend, the semifinals of the Japan Rugby League One. So, May 20th is the final of that. I'll be covering that. But between then and now, it's just sumo every day. The Summer Grand Sumo Tournament is on. So, you can catch all my stuff, Japan Times, NHK, all the rest of it. So, that's where I'm focused for the next couple of weeks.
All right. And lastly, BJ gives his regards. He apologizes he couldn't be here, but I'm sure he'll be here the next time. And, John and I both look forward to talking to him because it's been a couple of weeks, and BJ always has some good stories to tell before we hit the record button.
Yeah, no, he's always a funny guy. I love talking to that guy, man. He's awesome.
He is. All right, gentlemen. Well, listen, hey, thanks for sitting down. You guys are probably the same way. It's always nice to talk football, especially in the spring. So on that note, thank you everybody for joining us, and we will be talking to you very soon. Bye-bye.
This is Johnny Unitas of the Baltimore Colts. Let's go, you Colts.